This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Tim Kawakami about that as he joins us on the River Islands guest line. All guests of 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't time for you to discover the islands, River Islands and Lathrop, and obviously
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Please. Host a Warriors Plus Minus podcast on the Odyssey app, as well as a lot of his great interviews you can find there as well, SF Standard. And he got to talk to Warriors governor/owner Joe Lacob last week. Good morning, Tim. How are you doing today, man?
I'm doing just fine, guys. How are you doing?
We're doing okay. A lot better than Dallas Mavericks fans currently right now, Tim. I mean, you could say that for the last month, but even more so today. Nico Harrison, don't check your mentions, and I'm sure he hasn't been doing that anyways. This is just a huge injury, and obviously a season from hell for Dallas. Some of that may they have brought upon themselves, Tim. So we'll just bring you into the conversation we've been having. What are some of the reverberations we might now see in regards to the Dallas Mavericks? And maybe this summer, and Anthony Davis, I'm looking at right now, could he be a trade candidate going forward potentially?
It's a lot to take in. I think it's going to have to settle out. It's just got announced about Kyrie being out for the season on the ACL. But they traded Luka Doncic to get Anthony Davis. I don't think you turn around and trade Anthony Davis at that point. I mean, crazy things happen. I would never imagine they're going to trade Luka in the first place, but that's just a sign of pure panic. This is the guy that you were the only guy, apparently, that Nico Harrison wanted because of his relationship with Davis back to their Nike days. I don't think they're doing that. I think they try to retool it. I don't know, what the plan would be for Klay Thompson and some other players, but I don't think they're saying, okay, now we just bust everything up that we did. We just traded Luka, but let's trade the guy we just traded to get Luka. We'll see. Again, it's a lot happening. You can't make decisions just based on one morning, one day, even 2 days, even 2 months. They're going to have to soak this in. But I don't imagine that they're going to say, okay, let's just destroy everything. You can't do that. You just have to figure out how to redo this. And I imagine they're going to bring Kyrie back because he's he's not playing much next year, so he's not going to be big time on the market. I think he'll bring it back. The whole thing starts with their trade of Luka. It really spins from there, and it's bad. It's terrible for those fans. It's worse than anything that happened to the 49ers after they lost in the final round last year, but it reminds me a little bit of it. Like, you lose in the Super Bowl, you lose in the NBA Finals, you make some moves, and then guys start getting hurt because you're basing that run on veteran players. You're basing that run on a lot of, kind of all-in moves. 49ers are not trading Luka Doncic, but it just kind of reminds me that sometimes you get breaks to get to the final round, and then you lose, and then it all kind of crumbles. Yeah. And we saw it with 49ers with the injuries and some holdouts, and we're seeing it right now with this incredible, incredible, terrible run for the Mavericks.
Yeah, it's wild. And you led me right into it. I was going to ask you some Warrior questions, but you brought up the Niners. I was listening to multiple podcasts that you had with Matt Barros. It was really good. And I don't know. I would like you to elaborate, because it felt like you were kind of describing there's a shift maybe in financial philosophy from the 49ers. And I understand it, actually, because they've spent a lot of money. I mean, they really have. They spent a lot of money on a lot of guys, and not that they're tapering back and unwilling to spend. Maybe they're just being a little more discerning with the spending. Can you maybe break down the philosophical change from the front office in terms of how they're viewing the finances of the 49ers?
I just think it's always a back and forth between kind of the money people. And we know who they are, the 49ers, Jed York and Parag Marate, and there are others in there, but those are the top. Mm-hmm. And the football guys, Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch, it doesn't be specific just to that. It's always that in every franchise, in any era. The 49ers have gone through this before. And I think there was an urgency. Let's win a Super Bowl. We got guys. If they want more money, if it comes down to it, we've just got to pay them the money to try to win a Super Bowl, especially while Brock Purdy's on his super cheap rookie deal. There was like, okay, if that's what it's going to take to get Brandon Ayuk, we just have to do it. If that's what it's going to take to get Nick Bosa, just have to do it, because we need them on the field to win the Super Bowl. There was this kind of pull towards just get them out there. We need to win, and maybe the football side at premium. It's a back and forth again. It's not ever all one thing or the other, but you could just feel that, right? They had to get Nick Bosa in. They had to. They had to get Brandon Ayuk out there. They wanted to win a Super Bowl. I think the tide is just shifted a little or a lot. However, we're going to see this develop. But I think was regret from the financial people from the onset of the Ayuk deal, for sure. Absolutely from the Ayuk deal and the Debo deal before that, and a little bit for the Bosa deal, and a little bit for the McCaffrey extension, and a little bit for the Trent Williams. Mm-hmm. But you can see this accumulation. Like, we had to do it. We got to do it. We got to do it. We got to win the Super Bowl. We got to do it. We got to do it. And now they're stepping back and going, well, 6-11. Again, it's a short-term thing. We've all understood that. The money guys are going 6-11. We did all this. We're the number three, whatever, most cash outlay. Not cap, cash. I always try to explain this. It's cash. It's bonuses. It's money that you pay up front or you guarantee to try to lower the current cap hits, but you're still paying it. It's mm-hmm. still out of the owner's pocket. And I think there's a little bit of pullback. Okay, look, we went all in. We did all this. We did this for the football site. You said we needed these guys in. We agreed with you at the time, but we had, you know, some regrets about it. And now there's going to be some things to pay. There's going to be some places we're going to have to cut back because we've gone all in and we did not win a Super Bowl. I don't want to compare it to the previous big blow up. It's not similar. There's the personalities are different. But one thing that really led to the blow up with Jim Harbaugh, obviously the Trent Baalke relationship was bad. That was there. That's different. But also, Jed York was not pleased with how much money they were spending. It was cash outlay. He wanted it to win a Super Bowl. If they won a Super Bowl, he was willing to spend that money. And it came down to whether they were going to, you know, re-sign Jim Harbaugh. What was that contract going to be? That's the Jed York practical whatever side. The Trent Baalke thing was a whole other thing playing out, and they just added to everything. That's not a part of what this is. So I want to make sure I'm not saying it's the same, but it was similar pressures. Financial pressures, and Jed York is pretty clear about it. He will pay what it takes in his mind if they win a Super Bowl. If they don't win a Super Bowl, I think, and especially if they go 6-11, and especially if there's some contracts he feels like they lost some contracts. There's no question, some negotiations. They don't like losing. They don't like losing those negotiations. They feel like they lost a few. I think there's going to be some pulling back, and that's what is happening now. There's some pulling back. We'll see how far it goes.
Yeah.
We'll see if it extends to the Brock Purdy negotiations. That would be really, really serious if they do. I don't know that it will be, you know, all-encompassing. I think we're seeing it, though, with a few of these and maybe some of the negotiations out into the future.
Tim Kawakami with us, TK Show on the Odyssey app, and you can download it wherever you find podcasts. TK is just breaking down the whole 49er thing right now. I'm with you. Like, I have this kind of term, the pie chart of culpability. Like, it's never one thing. There's slices, right?
And he loves his pie,
and
Tim.
It's depending on how big the slices are. So I'm looking at this Ayuk situation, and how much of this residual is, like, of last year, the way it went down in terms of Ayuk's camp, maybe the money that they allotted him. Like, why are they so open to trading him right now? I'm sure they like the player to a degree, but how much of this is like the lingering effects of the way everything went down last offseason?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of that in there. Now, they haven't traded him. I think it's going to take a lot for them to trade him because they're going to take another dead cap hit. You're talking
40 million.
They've already traded Debo and taken that one, 31. You take another almost 40. Dude, that's $70 million. That you're not paying the two receivers that could have good seasons. That seems crazy to me. I mean, if they do it, then they're just basically chucking this season, which would be ridiculous. And I'd like to see them face Fred Warner and George Kittle after they do that. I don't think they're good. I just don't think they mind Ayuk hearing it because they do not like the way that went down last year. It was while it was happening. It was at the top of the franchise. They went, okay, we got to bring him in because our football guys say we need him to win. And again, I'm paraphrasing. I don't know that they said this, but you can see the logic. Like, they didn't never want to pay him $30 million a year, ever. That is not what they wanted. They did it because they wanted to win a Super Bowl because he fit with Brock Purdy. So why did they do the deal? If they didn't like it, they did it because they want to win a Super Bowl, and they didn't win a Super Bowl. In fact, they went 6-11. I think it's a little bit overreactionary to all of a sudden be okay, we want to throw this contract out. I don't think they're going to do it. We shall see. I think they need a really good pick to justify not having that player and taking that cap hit, but I think they don't mind it out there. I'll put it that way. I think they don't mind him feeling uncomfortable about the situation. They felt very uncomfortable throughout that negotiation last year. They really didn't like the way it went down. While it was happening, you could feel it. They did not like it, and they don't mind these, you know, guys who beat them in a negotiation or at least, you know, got more than most players get with the 49ers, feeling that the 49ers are pissed at them. And I think that's what's binging around, and teams know it. And I'm sure the 49ers have mentioned it to teams that they did not like the way this went down. So I think that's what's kind of the operation now. It's like other teams, maybe we can get it for nothing. Like, maybe we'll throw a third round pick and see if we can get Ayuk. I don't think that's what will happen, but I think that's what teams are responding to, and the 49ers are not hanging up the phone because they don't mind it being. Listen, they've been clear about it. They were thinking about trading Ayuk in last draft. They're thinking about trading Debo last draft. They're thinking about trading Debo two drafts ago. They're thinking about trading Debo three drafts ago. Like, they're open about this, and that's about dollars, that's about leverage. But you just had this, like, football side is kind of worn out on these really key players, and you understand, and I praise them for it, because you do want to go all in when you have a chance to win the Super Bowl. You do want to try to maximize every single moment you've got with a quarterback, with a good quarterback on a rookie deal. Well, that's changing, and you understand some of the kind of recalibrations, but now, is it going to be self-defeating recalibrations? That's the line they're treading now. I don't happen to think it's self-defeating to move off of Deebo Samuel. I just thought he was bad last season, and I don't think he's the player type who's going to be good into his 30s. I just don't feel that. Might be wrong. I kind of agree with him on that. The cap hit was big, though. I thought they might try to keep him and avoid that big cap hit. They said, fine, we'll take it. There's some things going on here that are symbolism, and I think there is a line that you got to draw where, okay, we don't want to be this mad about it. We just got to put a football team out there on the field. We'll see if logic comes into play. I think the Purdy thing is really going to be the measure. If they offer him, you know, something like a mid-tier deal, you know, a Baker Mayfield, 3 years, 100, that's not going to do it, but they might, I don't know. I wouldn't pay him 60, but I wouldn't offer him 33 either. So we'll see how that goes. It's negotiation. You don't offer your best deal at the first moment. You offer it when you have to. I would just say maybe they should make their best offer as early as they can and then get a feel for it. They have not done that in the past. I think they thought they were doing that with Ayuk. And my understanding is Ayuk never came to them with a number. They just didn't get a number. They would put a number out there, and it was a low number. It's the 49ers. They don't offer their best stuff early again. But they never felt like they got an answer back from Ayuk until the very end. Well, I think Purdy will give them a number. I think they'll get a number at some point, maybe, you know, in April, and we'll get a real feel for this goes. They should try to do it early. The quarterback, my God, you don't want the quarterback holding in, right? You don't want that. That's the last thing you can possibly want if you're trying to win a Super Bowl. I think we'll get a real feel for the practical kind of developments of this kind of recalibration, reset of what they're paying. Late April, early May, maybe, with Purdy, once those kind of mini camps start going on, and what his participation level is, and how this kind of back and forth really starts feeling like.
Talking to Tim Kawakami here, SF Standard on the River Islands guest line, TK Show on the Odyssey app. Tim, this is so much good stuff in regards to the 49ers. And last one for you here, you know, obviously Niner fans and people, everyone's going to be comparing themselves to the Philadelphia Eagles model. Howie Roseman's been doing it for a very long time. Nick Sirianni's now been to two Super Bowls. He's won one of them. I think people thought he was a dead man walking early on in the season, but, you know, talking to a lot of the, you know, people that follow and cover the Eagles, and what makes Nick Sirianni great is his relationship with his coaching staff, with his players. He is a players and a coach's coach, if you will, but he leaves all the other stuff to Howie Roseman. I say all that to say this. When I think the 49ers and I think Kyle Shanahan in decision-making when it comes to roster, when it comes to contracts, I always think of both John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan as being kind of this symbiotic relationship. And maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong here, and I would like for some clarification. When it comes to the chain of command in San Francisco, is it the czar Kyle Shanahan kind of doing everything and having all of this on his plate? And if it is it time to say now, like, there is too much on his plate and he needs to start divvying it up a little bit more, these responsibilities? And how involved is John Lynch in all this when it comes to the final decision makings, I guess I should say?
Yeah, it's subtle. It's a subtle question. I appreciate it. It's a subtle answer because Kyle Shanahan has, well, very directly, Kyle Shanahan has the power over all personnel decisions. That's in his contract. That's the way it works. But he has, you know, relied on John Lynch to make many of the other decisions because he's not, you know, Kyle's not studying game tape from college games from, you know, he's not watching, you know, Miami versus Toledo or whatever. He's just not doing it. That's not who he is, nor should he. He has the power to say, no, I do like that player from Toledo, you know, whatever, and we're taking him in the third round, but he does not do that. He turns it over to John Lynch and John Lynch's personnel side. They run the draft. Now, again, Shanahan has every right to, and will do it for quarterbacks and receivers. I think those two are, he's really zeroed on those two positions, but everything else, John Lynch runs the show, his personnel department. There are times that, again, Shanahan will jump in, but, or one of his assistants feels very strongly, Bobby Turner Jr. on the running backs, et cetera. You know, the coaches do have input on that, but It's a shared power, I think, but with Shanahan always having the final say, but he doesn't get himself involved in some other stuff. And it's good that he lets Lynch control it, because if you're not watching the grinding through all the tape, if you're not doing the pro days, if you're not doing the media, he didn't go to the combine again. This is not a Kyle thing. Well, then if you're not going to go to the combine, you better let the guys who went to the combine have a little more say. And that is how it happens. Then doesn't mean every single decision is straight down the line, John Lynch making it or Kyle Shanahan making it. They talk about it and they disagree over things and they agree over things. They've come to a consensus. There are areas where I think Kyle could be stronger. There's no question. Special teams. I've asked him the question, didn't really love it when I asked him after the season, could you care more? You know, if you don't care that much about special teams, how could the team possibly, you know, it resonates throughout. He didn't like that you know, being brought up, but I think it's true. And there's some other situations that, you know, I think, you know, they have particular types of what they like to draft. They don't like drafting offensive linemen the first two rounds. You can just see it clearly. They have not done it over their 8 drafts. This is their 9th. But that's a half. Again, it's a push and a pull. And there's a lot of things that Shanahan does great. And there's a lot of personnel things that are really improved by his input. It's just how you decide it on a case by case. There, you shouldn't do it all one way. You shouldn't do it all the other. They really hit the draft last year. They did. And they need a couple more of those because they have not hit the last few drafts before that. I think John Lynch is a really key element to this, though, because he is someone who communicates with the higher-ups. He communicates with the coaches. He communicates with the players. He's a great people person. He's kind of laid down a structure, he and Shanahan, together. But John's the one who goes from building to building and meeting room to room. Kyle kind of goes into his room and does the film, which is the way the job should be split up. John Lynch should be the one who can find compromises and can say, okay, I know you guys are not happy with these deals that we made. Let's not just bounce out of them. Let's figure out the best way that we go. You know, we figure out still to get a good players. We don't just cut down on free agent signing. We don't just go this total reactionary way. They've been reactionary, you know, 10, 15 years ago. Let's not do that now. Let's maintain what we've got. We've still got a really good roster. We've still got a chance to win a Super Bowl, which is being held at Levi's Stadium in February. I think Lynch is going to be really key. He's already been key to that. I think he's going to be even more underlined as they go into the 9th season. They're coming off a 6-11. Kyle can run hot. I think Jed can run hot. I think Perot can run hot. When John Lynch doesn't really, you know, operate in that way, he can be someone to let's just figure out the way forward. Let's not screw around with, you know, some players that we really like. I'm starting with the quarterback. I think Lynch is a very, very key element in this. And we have yet to see how the actual thing will come into play this offseason. I don't think it's going to be as hardline as it's felt. I've been writing about it, but it doesn't mean everything is going to play out that way into the offseason. And Purdy, again, is going to be the huge test case.
Hey, Tim, appreciate the stuff. A lot of insight here, a lot to chew on. We're going to be doing that for the rest of the morning. So we appreciate you having the time for us today. And let's do it again next time, man.
You got it. Anytime, guys.
Thank you, Tim.
That's Tim Kawakami, SF Standard, the TK Show on the Odyssey app.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.